Welcome to another episode. I'm Sabrina Lynn, and this is Rewilding. Have you heard about the Rewilding Challenge? It's free. It's 3 days. It's deep. It's wild. It's archetypal embodiment. It's awakening your superpowers and reclaiming lost parts of self. Y'all, this is crazy good. I love challenges. I love that we get to do this. I love that we get to hold the whole of our community and our community's friends and family through a 3-day deep dive into rewilding your life. It's happening hopefully May 17th to the 19th. By the time this podcast comes out, you'll see dates and details below, along with a link to register. Would love to be there with you. I've got new practices that I haven't shared anywhere. I've got new activations, new archetypal stuff, new big, beautiful journeys in. I've been secretly working in the background for, I don't know, about 6 weeks now, like during eclipse season. And it's high time I bring it out and just share it like freely and openly over these 3 days. If you've been to a challenge before, you know that we go for it. We don't hold back in our challenges. It's our way of loving up our community and giving us some really good, beautiful, big stuff to do. There's some awesome astrology happening May 18th. So assuming that we are doing it that weekend, again, the dates and details will be below, but assuming we'll get everything put together, we're putting this on a new website. And so it's taking a little extra time to put stuff together, but yeah, I feel like we're going to get there. I'm crazy excited and would just love to be there with you. You'll see that below. All right, let's talk about this May 7th new moon. I probably won't say a whole heck of a lot up front other than it's a dark goddess new moon. It is a rise of the deep sacred feminine kind of a time. It's also a very like sensual embodied make manifest kind of time. It's really, really an interesting layout. We can be seeing some crunchy stuff though, a couple of challenging aspects. We've got the final Chiron Mercury piece. Mercury's still in his shadow zone. He's direct, but he's still in shadow. So there's still some of this underworld shadowy stuff with the wounded healer Chiron up in the mix. We've got big North Node activation with Hygieia. This is stunning and beautiful, but can bring up some more karma, some more dharma happening during this new moon. But overall, I'm really excited about it. Yeah, there's some depth, but if we can keep kind of facing toward our true north, facing toward what lights us up, and continue to step into the new, right? Continue to step into the new, like newer, truer self, more evolved you, like what feels like true self, big self, full self, alive self. Y'all, we're really supported during this particular moon cycle. All right, enough of me talking at the start. I hope you have an amazing journey through this episode, and I really hope to see you in the challenge. I would say go sign up now so you don't forget about it. Go invite 5 friends who you think would be amazing to journey through and say like, I got the best gift to give you today, right? Come do this crazy rewilding stuff with me. And then you've got someone to talk to about it and maybe even accountability partner. I know some of us, we just go deeper. We just go deeper when we've got our peeps going with us. So you feel for what's true for you though. Might feel best for you to do it solo and not tell a single soul about it. And if that's the case, then heck yeah, go for it. All right, enjoy the episode. New moon in Taurus on May 7th. Things are being made manifest now. It is a stunning, beautiful, deep, very real time. If there's anything I can share overall around this particular new moon is it's a time to get real. It's a time to make things manifest. It's Taurus. Taurus energy is grounded. It's earthy. So if we just came out of this Aries season, right? Aries season, it's like, go, 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 go. Pioneer, pioneer, pioneer. Push into the new, push into the new, push into the new. But it's often very, very fast, right? It's a fire sign. So it's really quick. It's kind of out there. Sometimes it can be thoughts and ideas, and it can be visions and dreams. And then we get to Taurus where it's like, all right, now we're going to embody it. Now we're going to embody the dreams. We're going to make the dreams a reality. The things that we wanted to step into or we were dreaming of stepping into during the eclipse season, right? All like we could say like the last 6 weeks of things really what we were dreaming of, what we were thinking of, what we were maybe on really deep unconscious levels we were processing. I know some of us did some deep shadow work. Some of us did some deep karmic work, some deep dharmic work, some real like soul retrieval work. And now, and this can be even harder than all that stuff, really and truly, this Taurus new moon, this whole moon cycle, this could be harder than what we just went through. That sounds insane, right? It's because now it's like those changes happened on an energetic level, on a karmic level. Now they're coming into the physical. So it's like form has to follow energy, right? So like the physical has to follow the energetic, and that's what's happening now. That's what's happening. This Taurus new moon, this whole moon cycle, it's now the physical body, the physical world has to follow the deep inner change that we went through. Even if some of that deep inner change was unconscious, we don't know, right? We don't know what changed in us. We don't know what woke up in us. We don't know what shifted in us. And now it's like we're being asked to bring it into life. We're being asked to see it, to feel it, to become it. And this can be really hard. It can be really hard to become it. Sometimes it's so much easier to think about it. Sometimes it's so much easier to be really fiery about it, Aries, than it is to actually embrace it, embody it, and then express it out through ourselves into our lives. That's what this whole new moon cycle is about. This new moon, it's also sextiling Saturn. Sextiling Saturn. That is reality. There is no other planet that is more about reality in the physical world than Saturn. Sextiling, right? So we've got the sun and the moon conjunct during a new moon. They're in Taurus, and they're in this beautiful, a sextile is a supportive aspect to Saturn. And Saturn's saying even more. So Taurus is about the embodiment. It's about embodying it, grounding it in, making it manifest. Saturn is the realist, and he is the one that brings it out of formless into form. And he's supporting this whole, and now bring it in. Now bring it in, right? So those thoughts that you had, or that deep inner work, or that energetic shifting, or that transformation, or that whatever was going on for you over the last couple of weeks, and now it's time to change directions in life. Now it's time to make those tough decisions. Now it's time to change your daily routine, change your diet. Now it's time to move in a different direction if that's what we're called to do. Now it's time to the stuff in our relationships that may need to come into the physical. So that's the first practice that I'll leave you with, or the first new moon ritual to think about, is really meditating on, all right, what is it that really wants to come in to the physical? What is it that really wants to come into the physical? What is it that really wants to be made manifest? What is it that really wants to be made manifest? And how do I support that? How do I support the making that manifest? This is like work month, right? This is like a working new moon. It's like working. Taurus is the bull, right? It's working. It's just like, and one foot in front of the other, I'm going to bring this in. One foot in front of the other, I'm going to make a decision. One foot in front of the other. And it's going to be about the material world. It's going to be about the physical world. It's going to be about my resources. It's going to be about things that are very, very tangible. I know, right? This is interesting. There's some tricky stuff too going on. So I want to talk about that, but I really want to honor that theme. And I really want to just invite us to keep coming back to that. Keep coming back to that. Despite all the stuff I'm about to go into, right? Because it took me like 8 times of restarting this video, maybe more, maybe a dozen, I don't know, a lot of just, oh my, how do I even begin to talk about everything that's going on in this new moon cycle, right? Because a new moon starts a new cycle. And I know that we really want this moment in time to like finally ease off. Like, can we just take our foot off the gas pedal of evolution for a second? Can we just like calm down and like enjoy some shit for a minute? And we can. We can, right? Venus is in Taurus. This is a new moon in Taurus. There is joy in that. There is enjoyment in that. There is sensuality. There is pleasure in that, right? There is all of that. And so a reminder to us to turn the dial to that, to turn our attention to that, to support ourselves in the ways that we're called to around supporting our bodies and feeling into as I make things manifest, as the physical follows the energetics of what's been going on. How do I support that? Maybe I need massages. Maybe I need more earth time. Earth, like groundedness, connecting into the earth is a really supportive practice during Taurus seasons, during a Taurus new moon, right? Nature can be so incredibly powerful to support everything that's going on. It helps us to embody it, which is what we're being asked during this new moon. All right, are you ready? We got to talk about the other stuff that's going on, right? I can't just like fluff over the top and give you the sweet and the sensual without giving you the deep. There's deep, wild aspects going on. I mean, the evolution's not done. The transformation's not done. So yes, there's one process of we are making manifest. We are bringing it in. We are embodying the changes that were made. And simultaneously, there's still big evolution happening. There's still big transformation happening. Isn't that wild to like both and are happening? So one, it's like, yep, we're being called to get on with it. Embrace it, embody it, express it, bring it into the world, make it manifest. While simultaneously, right? Whether we're conscious of it or not, while simultaneously, you're going to keep evolving. You're going to keep moving further and further into newer, truer you. You're going to keep going. We're going to keep rewiring you. We're going to keep awakening you to more. We're going to keep going with the transformation because you're not done, right? You're not done. It's like all of your spirit guides are like, you can do both and. You're not done. We're not done with you. We're not like the stars are aligned to keep helping you alchemize your deepest wounds, to keep helping you shed what doesn't serve, to keep helping you let go of the karma that you're ready to let go of and step into more of your dharma, more of your dharma, more of your dharma. That's also happening. Deepest wounds. That takes me to the first aspect to talk about in this like deeper, more intense, still going with transformation, still going with evolution territory that's happening in May. It's not done, right? It's still going on. It doesn't have to be our sole focus though, right? So it's kind of this real invitation to hold both and like both. I'm getting on with it. I'm living. I'm enjoying my life. Sensual, pleasure, beautiful, making manifest, bringing it into the material world, right? In a way that lights me up. Everything is about follow my bliss. That's North Node, right? That's North Node. What lights me up? Keeping on that soul path. We have Hygieia on the North Node during this new moon. That's stunning. Kundalini, goddess of miraculous awakening, sacred sexuality, healing, like beautiful, gentle, feminine healing, just miraculous. Bang, 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 bang. Healed. And the awakening aspect of it, the bringing the Shakti to it, the Kundalini, the Shakti, the feminine wisdom to the North Node. So this is very much a time still that is very destined. It's very fated, but now we have this beautiful, glorious, she is so benevolent, so healing, so stunning, so grace-filled. So like this is one of those like gentle, kind, very much, it's like Venus, right? Like Venus Taurian energy, but of another higher octave, right? Like higher octave, higher frequency, higher potency, like more juice, more aliveness, more spiritual, more sacred, more divinity, like oozing with Shakti, and she wants to wake you up. She wants to heal you. She wants to support you in this like gentle, it can be a very sexual energy as well. This gentle, like sexual awakening, this gentle healing, this, but it's also grace-filled. So it's like sacred sexuality. It's sacred sexuality in support of your soul, conjunct the North Node, support of your soul's highest evolution, highest expression. That's beautiful. This is beautiful, right? It's beautiful, but it's still very karmic dharmic. On the North Node, South Node, that was all the eclipse, right? That's what makes eclipses so karmic and dharmic, is that the nodes of fate are involved. And so having her on the nodes of fate, it is still a very fated and destined time. It's beautiful though. Like it's a very high potency. And just because it's beautiful, which some of us learned with the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction on April 20th, just because it's grace-filled and beautiful and stunning, doesn't mean it's easy. Sometimes it's hard to accept the grace. Sometimes it's hard to receive the gifts. Sometimes it's hard to receive the healing. And so all of that's still alive. That's all still active. The receiving the gifts, the receiving the grace, the receiving the blessings for no good reason, right? For no good reason. It's just that it's time. It's time. You don't need to earn it. Some of it we don't need to earn. We just need to receive. We just need to open up instead of like, well, I haven't worked hard enough to heal the thing. I haven't gone to enough therapy. I haven't done enough. Da, 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 da. Sometimes it's letting go of that mindset because that's what's blocking the shifting of things. Okay. I know we said we were going to go into the deeper, more intense stuff. And then I just like weave over to Hygieia North Node. That's another beautiful place. If things get intense, which we're about to go into for you energetically, that's another thing to lean into, right? To lean into. And again, it's this whole new moon cycle. It's not just on the new moon on the 7th. Of course, it peaks then, but it's that whole moon cycle. All right. Chiron, if we're talking about healing, Chiron is conjunct Mercury for the third and final time the day before this new moon. Chiron was one of the three main players in the eclipse season that we just went through. He was, I would say, the main player in this Mercury retrograde. Mercury is still in his shadow. He's still in his shadow. He comes out of his shadow on May 13th. So he's still in the period where he went underworld, into our inner world, into our shadow, into our unconscious to get messages from the gods, right? To do alchemy, to shift things, to alter things. And this was a very big healing journey because Chiron was the main player for this Mercury retrograde. So this is the third and final time that Mercury goes past Chiron now. This is big. It's big. It's kind of like one final swipe at our deepest, darkest wounds. At our deepest wounds. And I use wounds very specifically. Wounds can mean many things. But wounds, I'm using that word very specifically because it's very, very linked to Chiron. It's like the wounds you came in with, the wounds sitting in your family system, the wounds that are holding you back, the wounds that hold wisdom beneath them. Here's another thing. This is another intense, challenging aspect. And we're going to weave over into the dark goddess in a second from here because she is loud during this new moon. So Chiron is also the bridge between our divinity and our humanity. So feel into that, the bridge between your humanity and your divinity, body and spirit, right? Humanity and divinity, your ego structure, your ego self, your separate self, your little self, false self, we could say all those different kinds of words to describe that aspect of self, and your true self, your soul self, your spirit self, your divine self. Chiron's the link between the two. That's another aspect of him, is he links the two, he bridges the two. So sometimes, not sometimes, I would say pretty much all the time, the deepest wounds are the doorway into our next level of embodying divinity, our next level of spiritual awakening, but from a very embodied, live from that place, live from that next level of soul embodiment, that next level of spiritual awakening, that next level of divinity, wisdom, gnosis that runs through me and moves through me. And the wounds, your particular wounds have to do with your particular karma that will lead you to living your most divinely acknowledged life, your most divinely embodied, spiritually embodied, highest life. So we can go back to that North Node Hygieia aspect too. So the wounds, they're delivered on a silver platter perfectly for your karma, for your dharma. They have to do with your karma and your dharma. They have to do with your greatest soul's expression. It's literally like, and these are the perfect ones for you, because this is what's going to help you to move further and further into true self. This is what's going to help you to hold humanity and divinity in one, but live from divinity through your humanity. I know, that's a lot. That's a lot. That's what's going on. They're conjunct for the third and final time the day before this new moon. So it's big. This is big. It's Neptune is at the final degree. Right? Neptune's a big player at the moment too, and is going to be. I say that because there's this spiritual aspect of things going on. The Jupiter-Uranus, that was a very spiritual transit that happened on the 20th. We've got some big stuff coming up on, I think it's the 18th and the 23rd. You'll have to pay attention to future videos coming up because I'll get you those dates exactly. But with Jupiter going on, with Uranus, we are really being asked. Let me feel if I can get I want to try and get these words a little bit better. We are really being asked to step into new human, new self, new earth, all of those words, right? Your next level of embodied divinity expressed through this body, through this life that you are living in. But it's not a spiritually bypassing kind of a thing. We don't even have to talk in terms of spirituality. We could talk in terms of love. We could talk in terms of your openness. We could talk in terms of your capacity to stay present to what is. We could talk in terms of your fulfillment. We could talk in terms of your purpose, you being on purpose, feeling purposeful, feeling fulfilled, you feeling like love is moving, you're receiving the love that fulfills you, you're giving the love that feels fulfilling to you. We could talk in all of those terms too. This doesn't have to be a spiritual conversation, right? It doesn't have to. So don't let that mess you up. All right, let's keep going. We have to talk about Pluto going retrograde. So Pluto went retrograde on May 2nd, going really, really slow, like not moving during this new moon, which makes him louder. It just makes Pluto louder. When he goes retrograde, that whole kind of time period, he gets louder. Pluto is Lord of the Underworld. Pluto is shadow worker. Pluto is the dark masculine, the consort to the dark goddess. It's Pluto, right? Holds some of your greatest potential in these hidden realms, holds some of your greatest power. Pluto has a lot to do with power. So for some of us, what we could be really looking at is in this Taurus new moon, right? We're bringing things into the material. We're bringing things into the physical world. But what it is that we're bringing into the physical world, we're inviting it, we're stepping into it, being more empowered, it being more impactful. Feel into that, being more impactful, right? It has more power behind it. It has more impact behind it. That's what Pluto's asking for, right? There's the Saturnian aspect. Saturn and Pluto have been doing a little bit of a thing, right? And Saturn being sextile to this new moon, Saturn is also saying, like, here's the structures to support the power, to support more impact. Here's how to make it manifest. Here's how to bring it into reality, bring it into the physical. All right, let's keep going. I know, this is a lot. This is, I'm telling you, this is a, here's something I could share with you. Feel into what serves in this conversation. It's so full. Like, it's so full. Come back and listen to some of this. Maybe just take some short notes on it, and maybe different things will hit at different points. They might hit the day before the new moon, they might hit the week after the new moon, and maybe you're like, oh, there was this thing that Sabrina was talking about, power. Like, what was that power thing? Power plays, power dynamics. Pluto's also asking us to empower the feminine. This is a very interesting component to Pluto. Pluto, as dark masculine, what does he do? He empowers the feminine. He empowers the deep sacred feminine. Persephone, who's all up in the mix, she's quincunx this new moon, Persephone. That's Pluto's consort, Persephone, right? Feminine, dark feminine. What did Pluto gift Persephone with? He gifted her with her empowerment. He gave her her power. He brought her, he was the initiator that brought her from maiden to queen. Maiden to queen. He brought the rites of passage. Pluto is amazing for the feminine in creating rites of passage, creating initiations that initiate you into your power. It's often your deeper, more hidden power. Sometimes the power that you're afraid of. Sometimes the power you don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. Sometimes the power that you think if you open to that power, it is going to rip your life apart. It is going to destroy things. He is an advocate for the fullness of the feminine. He is an advocate, right? If there is, there are two advocates. I will give you two. It's going to sound interesting because you're not going to believe the second one that I'm about to share with you. Pluto, I would say number one masculine advocate for the fullness. He wants the fullness of the feminine. He wants the deep, dark, hidden aspects of the feminine. He's like, give me your power. Give me your shame. I will transmute that into love. Give me your wild. There is nothing that's too wild. There's nothing that's too wild that I can't stay present to, that I can't love about you. There is no aspect of your feminine that is too much for me. That's Pluto. And he will literally stare at the things that you don't want to believe about your own feminine. You don't want to believe you're that emotional. You don't want to believe you change your mind that much. You don't want to believe there's that much juice sitting in your feminine. You don't want to believe you're that fucking sexual. You don't want to believe that you have that much, right? And Pluto just looks at it and loves it. He loves it. Loves it in a way that oftentimes we can't. That's the gift of Pluto. That's the gift of Pluto. When he went retrograde, he was, I think, square to Venus. He was in an aspect to Venus. His retrograde's flavored by Venus, by the feminine. He literally wants to take the maiden to the queen. He wants to empower the feminine. He wants to support the feminine rising. Her dark, hidden, oppressed, repressed aspects. That's stunning. That is a stunning, stunning retrograde for Pluto, right? And that's going to last for a while. That's going to last for a while. So I'm going to be curious to see what happens with the feminine and the feminine rising and what happens over the next couple of months in the collective and personally in each of us individually. You know, we all have a feminine. It's not gender specific. So it'll be interesting, like feminine rights. Who knows? I'm not a predictive astrologer. All right. So let's now feel into Persephone. So let's go to Persephone being in a quincunx. Persephone's square to Saturn because Saturn's in a sextile to this new moon. So she's quincunx to this new moon. That's a challenging aspect. So she's bringing in dark goddess. She's bringing in dark goddess. But sometimes how that can show up is it can show up as the unhealed feminine. The there's kinks in the feminine line because we haven't fully accepted. So the aspects of the feminine that we don't accept in ourselves, like I see a lot of, we don't accept the feminine sexuality. We don't accept feminine beauty. We don't accept feminine emotional depth. We don't accept feminine rage. We don't accept feminine grief. We don't accept feminine, you know, any of these sorts of things. Feminine intuition, we poo-poo it. We hide it under the carpet. We devalue it. It can show us where are we devaluing our own feminine, right? Where is society devaluing our own feminine? Where are the people in our lives, our relationships devaluing our own feminine? So that can be coming up during this new moon cycle. It's about to get a little more wild around this feminine stuff because I'm about to tell you that Kali is opposing this new moon. Ego slayer, Kali, dark goddess, like demanding fierce grace, the feminine. We're going to talk about this in a second. I want to keep going with Persephone. I want to talk a little more about Saturn. So I said that there were two masculine archetypes that really support the rise of the feminine. The first one that I mentioned was Pluto. The second one I said, you're not going to believe me. This is interesting. It's Saturn. I know. Saturn also represents the patriarchy, right? That's the shadow side. Represents the patriarchy. Represents, you know, like structure and closure and can be super crazy cold. And you're like, how the hell does that support the feminine? Saturn has the capacity to also, like Pluto, hold the full spectrum of feminine expression. So you throw any feminine deity at Saturn in his healed, exalted form, and he has the capacity to stay present to that flavor of the feminine, that Shakti, that deity, that goddess of the feminine, not only the capacity to stay present with her, to create a safe container for her, right? To lead her and to love with devotion and admiration. Every aspect of the feminine, every aspect of the feminine. I would say he can do it more than Pluto can. The variety of every aspect. Pluto's really like, I love the dark. I love the dark feminine. I love the dark feminine. I love where all the juice is at. I love where all the power is at. I love the dark feminine. And Pluto's kind of like, oh, you want to like be like sweet, innocent, nah. And Pluto's kind of like, that's not really that much fun. Like, let's go for the deep, dark power stuff, right? Where Saturn is like, I love it all equally. Like, I love your innocent maiden. I love your deep, dark, sexual wild. I love your giddy, beachy, hippie chick. I love your, I don't know, seductress who wants to kill me. Saturn loves them all equally. That's Saturn. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wild? Yeah. So having Saturn where he's at and square to Persephone, like, there's some supports here, and it will, let me see, how can I find some words for this? It'll challenge us. We have Mars in Aries, we have Venus in Taurus. This is the masculine and the feminine. It's a masculine and feminine month, right? It is a tantric month. It is just, they are dancing on all levels in all ways, right? Mars and Venus doing that dance. Venus having that square with Pluto, Persephone being involved, Saturn being involved, Hygieia, sacred sexuality. Like, there's a lot of tantric expression going on during this whole moon cycle. So just know May. Think of like, it's tantric May, right? It's a Mars and Venus on steroids kind of May, right? It is asking each of us, no matter where we're at with our relationship to our masculine and our feminine, it's asking us to come to the next level. Come to the next level. The next level of respect and devotion to the masculine. Yeah, I hear you. You're like, toxic masculine, fuck that. Yeah, it's not too toxic masculine. It's to the full expression of the masculine, though. And what are the expressions of the masculine, even in their sacredness, that we still have a problem with? Same with the feminine, right? If we're gonna start talking about the feminine this way, we gotta talk about the masculine in this way, right? Like, it's same on both sides of it. So like, what aspects of the feminine are we having a tough time accepting? What aspects of the masculine, even in even in a very evolved, divinely aligned expression of those flavors of masculine and feminine, which ones do we have a hard time with? So that can be coming up. That can be coming up for us. This is where archetypal work is really powerful. If you've never done archetypal embodiment or archetypal alchemy, you should join me for this really amazing free 3-day rewilding challenge that we're doing. I know, we haven't done a challenge in a while. It's time. It's time we do another challenge. We're doing a big one, 3 days. I think it's going to be May 17th to the 19th. I don't know. We're having some interesting things going on around launch of this, opening up of doors of this. But by the time this video comes out, there will be details below on how you can join. It's totally free, and we're going to work archetypes. We're going to work in all of this energy, like work in archetypes. Those are parts of self, like activating them, right? It's like archetypal initiations. What is in this territory? What is in this part of self? What are the gifts it holds? What are the superpowers? So every single archetype that I'm talking about, like Pluto, superpower. We talked about that. Saturn, superpower. We talked about that. Venus, superpower. Hygieia, superpower. I just told you a whole bunch of different superpowers, right? Here's what they're really good at. Hygieia, Kundalini, goddess of miraculous healing. What if that was awake in you? What if that was awake in you? How awake and alive is that in you? Isn't this stunning? Isn't this stunning? This is how rewilding first started. It's really how rewilding first started. It was with the archetypes and really activating these different superpowers, or we could call them wisdoms, like wisdoms in people. It's just waking that up. It's clearing out the line, like getting rid of the rubble, whatever's blocking that, and then opening up to how does that particular energy express in you? What are the superpowers that come online when you open up to that? They're all parts of self, and just some of them are not active. They're dormant. And so we're going to spend 3 days, and I'm going to open up a whole lot of different places here with a whole lot of different activations and give you a lot of inner journeys so that we can turn on a bunch of superpowers. I think the world needs more of us in our superpowers. And so we're going to do that. I'd love to do it. It's totally free. It's totally fucking free. It's a rewilding challenge, just like all of our other rewilding challenge where there's 15, 20,000 people coming in for free and we hold some space. I teach live, facilitate live. It's like good and proper rewilding though. So it's not conversation like this. It's good and proper rewilding. So come prepared for it to be a weekend retreat. So you'll find details of that below. All right, let's keep going. I want to talk about Kali. So again, this is an archetypal energy, right? Kali is an aspect of self that you can wake up, that you can activate. And then what are the superpowers? What is the wisdom that comes when we wake that aspect of self up? So Kali is opposite this new moon. Who is Kali? What is Kali? What does that represent? What does that mean being opposite this new moon in Taurus? What does that bring us to? Remember we talked a little bit earlier about Dharma, about North Node, about highest path forward. We talked a little bit about your true self, expression of true self in this life, and how that is what brings you the fulfillment, right? It is what brings you the purpose. It is what lights you up. Your Dharma is what lights you up. Kali is defender of Dharma, and she will stop at nothing to give you your everything. That's her. That's her. She doesn't care about your little self. In fact, she wants to kill your little self, right? She wants to help you move past false self, little self, egoical constraints. She wants to liberate you from little self, liberate you from this limited way of being, of knowing, of living, right? She's liberator. So she liberates us from the ego, from the false self, from limited view of self, and she opens us up to an expanded state. Not just expanded state of consciousness, expanded state of being, right? And again, defender of your Dharma. So very much about your soul's highest expression. And the beautiful part about her, she's a dark goddess, right? She's fierce as fuck. She is fierce as fuck. She doesn't care. She doesn't care what it takes. This is going to sound really crude. She doesn't care. She doesn't care if she tanks her bank account, if she orchestrates your dog getting hit by a car. I know this sounds horrible. If she gives you, I don't know, some kind of like weird ailment in your right shoulder, she doesn't care. She doesn't, because her aim, right? It's fierce grace. Her aim is, and this is what you need to wake up. This is what you need to get unstuck. This is what you need to release the karma to step further into your dharma. This is what, she's opposite this new moon. She's opposite this new moon. The Kali asteroid, she's an asteroid. She's opposite this new moon. I think it's 1 degree off. That's intense. That is intense. It's intense. It's intense. It's all I can say. It's intense. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But can be tough because it's tough love. It's tough love for your soul. And a lot of times we're clinging on to, well, but can't I have what I wanted on my vision board? She's like, fuck your vision board. Like, I have a vision board for you, and it has to do with your soul purpose, not the mansion on the beach, because that is going to totally distract you from what you actually came here to do. Right? That's her. What your soul came here to do. What really fulfills you. Because that beach house, that is not going to fulfill you. That's surface level bullshit. That's ego shit. And Kali will call you out every day of the week on ego shit. And so to have her opposite this new moon, like, just too good. It's just too good. All right, let me just see if there's anything else that I want to talk to. Medusa, we got another dark goddess up in the mix. Medusa, I've got sextile Medusa. So Medusa, just adding more of this. That's a sexual aspect. I see the feminine, this feminine rising, right? I see deep sacred feminine rising. And Medusa brings in a sexual flavor to it. Persephone brings in a sexual flavor to it. Kali not so much, for sure can. I mean, they can go anywhere. But Medusa will bring in a sexual flavor. Like in the toxic, let's move the toxic feminine into like fully empowered feminine, fully empowered with all of my sexuality alive and awake, but expressing at a highly divinized state. This is going to be an interesting month. It's going to be a very interesting month, y'all. Crazy interesting. We work deep sacred feminine in Rewilding membership. So for those of you who are there with me, y'all know what we're getting into. It just is what arose, and we got to move that deep sacred feminine through our bodies. We got to do 2 hours. I mean, the whole 2 hours was dedicated to it. So if that's something that sinks you, you're very welcome to join us in Rewilding membership. Check that out. We'll put a link to that below. And if you want to work with archetypes, if you want to work with archetypal activations, archetypal embodiment, waking up these superpowers, reclaiming these lost parts of self, opening up to this stuff, and you want to just do some really good and proper rewilding, like maybe you've not done proper rewilding, you've just been hanging out on the podcast, which is awesome, but come and do some stuff, like come and do rewilding. Like this to me is us talking about doing rewilding. Come and do rewilding. It's a completely different ball game. And again, totally free. 3 days. Would love. It's our way of, what is it? I think we have this amazing opportunity to just ripple good stuff out into the world. Right? And you awakening to something isn't just you awakening to it. It's you awakening to it and rippling that out into the world, right? And so if there's 20,000 people who come through this rewilding challenge and they wake up to something and then that ripples a little bit out into the world, like maybe that affects 2 million people, or it ripples out something that heals, something that does something, that does something. Like that is the gift that keeps on giving, right? That is the giving is the receiving. Because to me, if this world is just a tiny little bit better, fuck, I want to live more in that. Like, yes, please. If it leads to a little bit more love in this world, yes, yes. So if it sings to you, or if you want to invite people to it, super welcome. It's open to all. I just do suggest that the people you invite are over the age of 18. That's just smart and wise. But open to all, and I would love to see you all there. So much love. I'm in the comments. If this served, hit the like button if you don't want to miss a future video, which you definitely don't, because what's coming up May 18th and May 23rd, I definitely want to speak to that, and I want to bring more around that stuff and how we can work with some of the energy like mid-month, because it's different. It's very different to what's happening during this new moon. So subscribe. That'll get you to all the videos coming up in the future. All right. Huge love to you all. I will see you when I see you, where I see you, and how I see you.